Let us hear God's word. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fell for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. Now we tonight turn to verse 124. Psalm 119, verse 124. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. Dear congregation, in this world there is much to discourage God's servants and all believers. The struggles pile up upon them, and they are in need of much support. Our enemies are many. Therefore we make our plea, as we note in verse 116, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. The Lord will hear our prayer, and in the midst of our enemies and with the struggles confronting us, he will support us. He will hold us up. Now, as we note from verse 118 through to verse 119, the Lord our God is a God of justice. He is holy and he hates sin. He is just and he will deal with sin. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. The psalmist is confronted with his enemies and he needs support. Well, as he cries out for support, he recognizes the justice of God, that the Lord will act. Now, it is vital that we, in the midst of our enemies, seek to walk in an upright way, and that we know the Lord undertaking for us. Just notice verse 121. And I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine enemies. You see there the plea that the Lord would support him. He sought to be faithful, to walk uprightly. He knows how important it is. Lord, help me. Leave me not to mine enemies. And then verse 122. Be surety for thy servant for good. Simply undertake for me, plead my cause, come to my aid. I need thee. How he desires the Lord to act for him. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. So you see this in this part of the psalm. The psalmist is praying to the Lord for support and help, that the Lord would act for him. He's conscious how holy and just God is, and he's conscious of his enemies that are before him. And as we think of this, how we need the Lord's help. We are conscious of the struggles and the enemies we face. We need the Lord to come in for us. Well, he was opposed. He was struggling. Just note that particularly in verse 123. Mine eyes fell for thy salvation, and for the word of thy righteousness. He's looking, but he's struggling. He considers that which he is facing and his enemies that are around him. He's looking to the Lord and his word, but he's struggling. Mine eyes fell for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. And that leads us tonight to our text. Verse 124. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. He's praying that the Lord would deal in mercy for his good. He's opposed, Be struggling, Lord, come and deal, and in thy dealings with me, teach me the way I am to go in the midst of mine enemies. Well, let's come directly now to these words. Verse 124, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. And two thoughts tonight as we come to the text. The text naturally divides into two. First of all, deal, Lord, with thy servant. And secondly, teach me thy way. Now, as we will note in a moment, part of the Lord dealing with us is that he teaches us the way. Well, let's consider first of all then, deal, Lord, with thy servant. Here's David, he's pleading with God. He speaks of himself as a servant. Verse 124, deal with thy servant. And then particularly verse 125, I am thy servant. He's making his plea then as a servant to the master. And that's implied, isn't it? David, the psalmist, is the servant. He's praying to the master, the Lord. He's praying that the master would condescend and come to his aid. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. You see, he looks on God as the master. The Lord is the one who is over all. He has the authority to command. He is the lawgiver, the master. And then particularly consider Christ, often referred to as the master in the New Testament. He is our master in a special way. We've been subdued and brought to his feet. And now we're like a pupil looking up to him. We're servants in humility, listening to him. Through grace, we went to him. Matthew 11, verse 29. Through grace, we are found at his feet, listening as a servant. Matthew 11, verse 29. Well, we know him to be the master. And here we consider him, and we as a servant or as servants are looking to him. We know the master. You recall those words in John 11, verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. Martha knew the Lord to be the master, and so do we. They're precious words, aren't they? The master is come and calleth for thee. The Lord has come to us and he's called out to us. And we're servants and we're responding. We're looking to him and we're communing with him. And here tonight we see, we make our plea. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. We know him. And we seek to submit to him, like Peter and those others. You recall they had been toiling all night, but what did Simon say in Luke 5, verse 5? Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. They knew him and they submitted to him. And so did the psalmist. We'll note that in a moment. He's submitting to the master and he's praying that the master would teach him afresh what he is to do. Teach me thy way. Well, he is the master. We consider the Lord here. And we belong to him. There's a relationship here, as some of the old writers point out. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. Just those two words. Thy servant. There's the master. There's the servant, there's the relationship. We belong to him. We're privileged to be his servants. We're not the servants of sin any longer, as we see in Romans 6. No, we're servants unto God. He's now our master. Yes, we battle with sin, we struggle, but we're not servants of sin now. No, we're servants of the Lord. We belong to him. There's union with Christ. My beloved is mine, and I am his. What a comfort that is when we think of the struggles that pile up upon us and the enemies that are before us, as the psalmist does in this particular section, to know that we belong to Christ. My beloved is mine, and I am his. Oh, let's value this again and again. Now you consider here the psalmist, he's struggling, his enemies are before him, but he takes comfort, even though his eyes are failing for God's salvation, in verse 123, that he is God's servant. And though we have our struggles, though there are those that oppose us, let's take comfort, we are the servants of the Lord. He's our master, and he's working out all things for our good. We are the Lord's. We are the Lord's servants. What a privilege that is. You think there's so many in this country. They're enemies of the gospel. Yet we're the servants of the Lord. And we know it in our hearts, don't we? The psalmist said in Psalm 116, verse 16, O Lord, truly I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Thou hast delivered me. Thou hast delivered me from the bondage of sin, and now I'm a servant of thine. Thomas Manton wrote, God's servants have a special claim, an interest in God. We have a special claim. Now it's interesting in the New Testament, a number called the Lord Master. But not everyone who called him Master knew him in a special way. We know the Lord in a special way to be our master. Now, what's the plea here of the psalmist in verse 124? Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. Lord, I belong to thee. I am thy servant. Deal with me in thy mercy. Now, just note these words. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. And are we not thankful for that word mercy? Where would we be tonight if the Lord dealt with us in his wrath or punishment? Let us be thankful that we are a servant and we can plead his mercy when we ask him to deal with us. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. And that opens up something, doesn't it? We're thinking of God's gracious dealings with us, his merciful, his loving dealings with us. Now, I took a little time earlier just to point out how God is just, and he deals with men in his justice. Come with me again to verse 118. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. He deals in his justice, he deals in his wrath. Are we not thankful? We can plead that the Lord would deal with us and we can take comfort because he is merciful towards us. Oh, that men and women would flee to him, that they would make that plea as with the publican in the temple. What was the plea? God be merciful with me, a sinner. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Deal with me in mercy. If there's anyone here or listening on without Christ, oh, pray that the Lord would deal with you in mercy, for it will be a fearful thing if the Lord deals with you in a way of punishment or wrath. Let us be thankful. There's a relationship here. We belong to the Lord, and we can pray that the Lord would deal with us, and we know he will deal with us in a merciful way, in a gracious way, in a loving way. Let us be thankful. Let us cast ourselves on God's mercy tonight, knowing his mercy never fails. If you just turn to Psalm 136, it's so full of the mercy of the Lord, isn't it? And we've noticed this before. Just notice verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. How does the psalm end? Verse 26, O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endure forever. So we can keep going to the Lord, deal with me. And we can take comfort, he will, in a merciful way. We plead that the Lord would deal in light of his mercy. Now we have this word deal at the beginning of verse 124. At the root it means to do, simply to do. To bring forth, to fulfill, to grant. Deal in mercy. Grant me in mercy. Bring forth certain things in thy mercy. Let's just briefly open this up. Consider again the psalmist. He was opposed by others. We've noted that already tonight. Deal with thy servant then and be a shield to me. And that's a mercy, isn't it? When the Lord shields us, he thinks of those that were against him. Verse 118, notice verse 122, be surety, act for me, for thy servant, for good. Let not the proud oppress me. They were oppressing him. They were coming closer. In thy mercy, act for my good, shield me. Be a shield to me, the Lord is. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. So many things there. The Lord is to us. What a comfort that is. The Lord is my rock. We're not standing on sinking sand, are we? The Lord is my rock. He's supporting us there. Then he's protecting us. My fortress. What a fortress he is. My deliverer. What a comfort that is. My God. Are we not thankful there's a relationship as we've already seen tonight? He's our covenant God. He has given himself over to us. And as we think of the covenant, the blessings that were secured by Christ, they come to us. He will never break that covenant. He is our God forever. He's our strength. Oh, to remember that when we're weary, the Lord is our strength. And that's why we find ourselves at times being lifted and we can go on. My buckler, the shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Deal with thy servant, be a shield to me. I need that protecting. Well, he comes and he deals in mercy with us. Turn with me to Psalm 34, verse 7. We see here the Lord coming and dealing and being a shield for us. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. He encamps round about us. You know, sometimes you may be in the college or school and there's so many, you know, they don't love the Lord. Some may laugh at you. One there, one there, one that direction. Oh, take comfort, the Lord comes and he's a shield all the way around. He encamps. It's a lovely word, isn't it? The Lord comes, he deals in mercy and he encamps round about us. Remember how he dealt in mercy at the Red Sea? The Egyptians couldn't get to the Israelites. He was between them. He shielded them. God's servants, all God's people, are defended. Then consider secondly, the psalmist was struggling. And so he makes his plea, deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. Now just notice 123. Mine eyes fell for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. He's looking, but he's struggling. So relevant, isn't it? There's times when we're looking. We know the Lord has given us faith. We're looking to the Lord. We're looking to Jesus, God's salvation. We're looking also to the promises of the word, but we struggle. We struggle. Deal with thy servant in thy mercy, strengthen me, help me. He was struggling. Oh Lord, come, deal in thy mercy, strengthen my faith, strengthen me to go on. You know, at times it's hard to focus, isn't it? We see that here in a spiritual way, in verse 123. You think of it in a physical way, it's hard at times, your eyes are tired. I remember at school, particularly the science lessons, I used to enjoy science, but in the long summer hot afternoons, I used to struggle, especially when they put the Bunsen burners on as well in the summer. We had to do these experiments, and I used to try and keep my eyes open. I would peer over to the clock. I just wanted to go home. It was hard to focus. Those of us who have to have eye tests fairly regularly, it's not easy, is it? You know the letters are on the wall, and you look there, but it's hard to see. I can't go down many lines. You try to peer, and it gets worse, doesn't it? Well, at least for me, when they put the letters up and there's red behind them or green behind them, and I try to look, and I struggle. In a spiritual way, we're looking, but we're struggling. Deal with thy servant in thy mercy. Increase my faith. Strengthen me within. Come, thinking of those words of the Father in Mark 9, verse 24. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but there's unbelief. Verse 123. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. Increase my faith. Oh, we pray it collectively, don't we? But also individually. Strengthen my eye of faith. Refocus my eye. Strengthen me within, O Lord. Precious words in Psalm 138 in verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. As the Lord, he's come and he's dealt in a way of mercy with the psalmist, and there's been a strengthening in the soul. And that's where we need it, isn't it? Primarily. We need it in our hearts. And that's where we have it, primarily. The Lord has access to our hearts. And he comes and he deals with our hearts. And he strengthens. And strengthenest me with strength in my soul. The mind lifts. You know what that's like at times? You may have a heavy heart, a heavy mind. You're thinking of a situation. Maybe someone's opposing you, as you see here in this psalm. But then there comes this strengthening. And you feel the mind lifting. Your eyes are a little lighter now. You feel it physically at times, don't you? But you know it's happening within. The heart beats a little stronger. And the feet move more swiftly in a spiritual way. We wait on the Lord. We have that promise in Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall, because the Lord will come and deal with his servants in a way of mercy. But then thirdly, the psalmist knew trouble. He knew that trouble. We've already touched on it. But the trouble so affected him that he longed for comfort. And that's what we have in verse 82. Mine eyes fell for thy word, very similar to verse 123. When wilt thou comfort me? Now we looked at that about a year ago. We see their faith, it's not if thou wilt comfort me, it's when. That's so important. When wilt thou comfort me? The psalmist is believing that comfort will come, but he doesn't sense it. That's where we find ourselves at times, isn't it? We know we will be comforted, but we don't sense it. We can know trouble. Trouble before us. Mine eyes fell for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Fear can take hold. Discouragements can set in like the rain and dampen our spirits. Enjoying the sunny weather, 2 days' time, I'm thankful there's going to be a little rain. And we need the rain. But you know, the long days in winter, the heavy rain can dampen our spirits. We can identify with this. Satan can fire his darts. The ungodly can speak so unkindly. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. Therefore, grant me comfort. Deal, give me comfort. In that gracious way, bestow it upon me. I believe it will come, but grant it me now. And the Lord will, in his time, comfort. Isaiah 51, verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. You remember that promise when you're troubled. When we're collectively troubled as the people of God in this nation, you remember God's promise. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. Let's bring the promise to the Lord in our prayer meetings. We look forward one day when others can gather with us for the prayer for church and nation. Let's bring this promise. The Lord shall comfort Zion. He will deal in His mercy. And He deals in His mercy with us. We're troubled, but it doesn't seem too long, does it, before comfort comes and fills the heart. The consolation of Israel draws near. And He, through His Spirit and Word, deals in a way of mercy. Comfort is heard and comfort is felt in the soul. It's a precious thing, isn't it? You remember last Lord's evening we considered a floating knowledge or a common knowledge of the Lord. But then that saving knowledge, which believers know, is in the heart. It affects the heart, isn't it? We know Him. And it's precious, isn't it? We're aware of Him. Many have a knowledge of Him. We have a knowledge concerning Him in our hearts. And as we think of comfort, people can know of comfort in the scripture, but we know of comfort felt in the soul. And there's times when our hearts are lifted and we know, despite those who oppose us, despite the struggles we go through, all will be well. What's happened at that time? With the consolation of Israel, the Master has come. And He's called out for us. And He's dealt in His mercy. He's given. He's been at work. Oh, to trace His hand more often. Comfort comes. The comfort of the scriptures. And the comfort of His love, mercy and grace. The comfort that there is fatherly forgiveness. The comfort the Lord will preserve me. The comfort heaven is before me. The comfort of His most holy and wise providence. And that's a comfort, isn't it? When people oppose us and we're struggling, the comfort of His most holy and wise providence. And we're found being able to recite those words with the Apostle Paul. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And it's a comfort when we lay hold of that, isn't it? And when we do, it's because the Lord has dealt in His mercy. When we're troubled, let's make this plea. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. Come, Lord, deal. Oh, come, bring comfort to my soul. May I know the comfort of providence, the comfort of thy help. Now, divine comfort can bring joy. The psalmist said in Psalm 94, verse 19, in the multitude of my faults within me, thy comforts delight my soul. As the psalmist, he said, many things going around his mind. Has that happened to you recently? Many things going around your mind. The multitudes of faults. You know, sometimes it's hard to think about one thing, isn't it, at a time. But then at other times we find ourselves with so many things going around our mind. But then the Lord brings comfort and it brings that joy. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comfort delight my soul. What's happened there? The Master has come and dealt in a way of mercy. And He has brought comfort and the Spirit has excited that grace of joy within. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, Psalm 4. Oh, it's our plea in trouble. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. Oh, to know delight from the comfort of the word. Spurgeon wrote, I will hasten to the Lord. He has divine comforts. And these will not only console, but actually delight me. How sweet are the comforts of the Spirit. Who can muse upon eternal love, immutable purposes, covenant promises, finished redemption, the risen Saviour, His union with His people, the coming glory, and such like themes, without feeling his heart leaping for joy. Oh, bring me such comforts then. Deal with thy servant. Deal with thy servant in the way of mercy. Oh, there's so much here, isn't there? Oh, let's be thankful. We'll never be dealt with in a way of wrath and punishment. In a way of mercy because of Christ our Saviour. There's comfort for us where we could go on. There's quickening. We've seen that in the psalm, haven't we? He's been on the ground, but there's been this quickening. The Lord has dealt in his mercy, there's been help. How we need help each and every day. We so often prove our weakness, don't we? Lord, help me, as we consider the Lord's evening as our little plea. And he deals well in his mercy. He helps us. Teach me. That's what we see here, isn't it? Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. We're not going to look at the teaching tonight. We'll carry on another time. But just before we close, just focus again on those words in the middle of the verse. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy. Now we've seen already, are we not? Have we not? We're thankful. He deals in a way of mercy. But let this be our closing thought. It's mercy, isn't it? It's no merit in ourselves that the Lord deals in such a way. It's because of mercy. We need mercy. We need mercy and grace. We find mercy and grace because of his grace. We don't deserve this, do we? We've got nothing to merit the Lord comforting us. We've got nothing to merit the Lord helping us. It's his favour. It's his mercy. So we plea in view of mercy and mercy and mercy, and we trust in it. Psalm 13, remember the psalmist, he knew sorrow in his heart daily. But then the Lord drew near and dealt well with his servant and lifted his soul. And what do we read in verse 5 of Psalm 13? But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He'd been down, he knew great sorrow, but there'd been reviving, and he was trusting in God's mercy. What a blessing it is, isn't it? When we come to God tonight, we can focus on a God of great and special mercy to us. I have trusted in thy mercy. As we close, think of God. And in light of our text tonight, think of mercy. We come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy in time of need. We can approach God. He's a holy God. He's a just God. But he's made himself known to us as a merciful God. We can trust in mercy. He will come. He will deal in mercy. Make your plea. You're struggling. Those against you, you have a master. And he calls for thee. You respond, Lord, deal in mercy for me.